Good morning, everyone. And welcome to a special service today. And we have some special visitors, especially in the pulpit. We have Mr. Alan Richardson, who's the moderator of Ardrossan Presbytery. So we welcome you, Alan. Nice to have you.
Thank you.
He was here about a year ago, sitting at the back, but he's here officially today. As moderator, he has to do 5 different churches in the year, and he's starting with us, so we're very honoured that that's the case. Alan is an elder in the church in Beath, and he's been very active in presbytery for many years now, and now he's honoured to be the moderator. He's been property convener. When we attest our rolls and records, he's the man who attests the rolls and records. And he does lots of different jobs. You'll notice on your order of service, on the back of them, there's a picture of Alan in his kilt with a flock of sheep crossing London Bridge. So I did ask him, why were you crossing London Bridge with a bunch of sheep? And apparently it's because he's a free man of the City of London. It's a very special honour given to only a few. And it comes out of the fact that by trade, he's in the furniture trade. He started as the lowest life in the furniture trade, and he became the president of the furniture trade. And he's one of 5 honorary presidents of it. And it's part of the privileges of that, that he ends up being able to take sheep across the bridge. If you want to hear more details about why he's taking sheep rather than furniture, you can ask him. We're having a special tea after the service, so you're all invited to come through to the hall. We've set out tables and tablecloths and things. So please come and meet Alan. You'll find him a very interesting person. Can I just say 1 or 2 intimations? I'd like to thank those who are providing the tea after the service as well. Thanks very much. The session meets on Tuesday at 7, midweek worship Wednesday at 11. Unfortunately, the Guild concert this week's had to be cancelled, but the Guild is back on. So if anybody's in the Guild, please come along on Wednesday as usual. The speaker will be Jean Todd, and she'll be speaking on It's Nearly Christmas, which it will be. Next Sunday is Advent Sunday. I also commend to you the prayer group. Sorry it's omitted in the intimations again. But at 10:30 on Thursday, you're welcome to come and pray together. And on Friday at 7, we meet in Audrey Scott's house for an informal Bible discussion. And these are all the intimations. So I hand you over now to Alan.
Good morning, and Alec, thank you very much for your very kind welcome. I don't know how I live up to that welcome. We'll see you as the morning goes on. Call to worship. God has told us what is good, and what does the Lord require of us but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with our God. So let's open worship this morning by singing hymn 352. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Hymn 352.
Sunday school, and the wee hall is getting used. Thank you.
Let us come together to God in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, we praise you and we worship you. We set the stars in space. You inhabit glory unimaginable. You desire to live in our hearts. We respond with love and praise. You alone are worthy to be worshipped, honoured and adored. Great and loving God, we thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to show us that love, to show us that love, and to help us to see how we can share that love with all those around us. Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus' name, confessing that in our actions we may have failed you and we may have fallen short of what you expect from us. In silence, Lord, we lay before you our prayers, asking for forgiveness of sin that may cloud our relationship with you. Father, grant us courage to examine ourselves at this time and our great need for your everlasting love. Loving God, Father of us all, you are always with us, and we can only ask your forgiveness for the many times we forget this in our daily lives. We bring all our burdens to you, Lord, our faults and our feelings. Forgive us that at times we don't love and care for others as we should. So, Lord, encourage, strengthen, and guide us all in this week ahead that we can care for others. Hear these are prayers and let us join together in the family prayer Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Boys and girls, do you like jelly babies? Do you like jelly babies? Have you ever looked closely at the jelly babies? No? Do you know that there are 6 colours of jelly babies? And each jelly baby is different. And 5 of the jelly babies have names. Do you know that? No. Jelly babies were first made in 1864 by an Austrian emigrant to Britain. And they were made as unclaimed babies. The name changed to Peace Babies at the end of the First World War in 1918. In 1945, after the Second World War, when production restarted, they were named again Jelly Babies. The name that we know today. And you know that each of the 6 colours have their own name, just as I said. So let's get the 6 colours out. So if you look at the purple one, look at the purple one, and if you lick its tummy, what do you see? You see a heart on its tummy. The purple one is called Big Heart. The heart represents the fact that we all make mistakes. We say the wrong things, perhaps, to a school friend. That may hurt them. The green jelly baby is Boofles. And if you look at his tummy, you'll see that he is crying. Boofles is crying as she's been upset by what's been said to her. God is upset when we do wrong things, but he always forgives us. God loves you and me and all the people, no matter what, and will always give us another chance. The orange jelly baby is called Bumper. And Bumper has got a bag around his waist, what we would call a bum bag today. Is he going on holiday? What do you think? What do you think's in the bag? Has he got all the right things? We wonder. The yellow jelly baby is called Bubbles. Bubbles. And what's Bubbles got round her neck? And if you look closely, it's a necklace. And if you look closely, you'll see the necklace. And I'm sure some of you would like to receive a necklace, maybe for Christmas when it's coming, for doing the right thing. This is a symbol of the treasures that God promises us all. The red one, again, not all that clear on the slide, but the red one has a big B, the letter B, on his tummy. And he's called Baby Bonnie. B represents blood. God so loved us that he sent Jesus to us. Jesus lived a perfect life and died so that all the mistakes we make can be forgiven. So the red jelly baby reminds us of the blood of Jesus that he shed when he died on the cross for us. Now, there are 6 jelly babies, but only 5 have names. And the pink jelly baby is the one that doesn't have a name. It is the baby. And we are all children of God. And God cares for each and every one of us and forgives us for all our faults and our sins. So what are all the colours? Do you remember what they are? What's the first one? Purple. Reminds us that we make mistakes. Green. God gets upset when we make mistakes. That takes us away from him. Orange reminds us to do the right thing for God. And yellow, we are promised great treasures living with God in our life. And red reminds us of the blood that Jesus shed for us, and that all our mistakes we make can be forgiven. And pink, the baby, reminds us that we are all children of God, and that he cares and loves each and every one of us. Whether you're old like me or young like you, we are all children of God. So this is the story of the Basset jelly babies. So the next time you eat a jelly baby, look closely and see which one you're eating and see if you can remember the names. They're all different, and we are all different, and God and Jesus loves each and every one of us. So let us stand and sing that great old children's hymn, which I sang when I was very young, Jesus Loves Me, This I Know. There's a box of jelly babies. There we are. So when you go through, look at the name. Look at the faces. Our first reading this morning is from Psalm 107, reading from verse 1 to 9, and it's on page 610 of the Pew Bibles. Give thanks to the Lord, because... Mic gone off? Give thanks to the Lord, because he is good. His love is eternal. Repeat these words in praise to the Lord. All you whom he has saved, he has rescued you from your enemies, and has brought you back from foreign countries, from east and west, from north and south. Some wandered in the trackless desert and could not find their way to a city to live in. They were hungry and thirsty, and they gave and had given up all hope. Then in their trouble they called the Lord, and he saved them from their distress. He led them by a straight road to a city where they could live. They must thank the Lord for his constant love, for the wonderful things he did for them. He satisfies those who are thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. The gospel reading is Luke's gospel, chapter 17, verse 11 to 19. Jesus heals 10 men. And this is on page 1051 of the Pew Bible. As Jesus made his way to Jerusalem, he went along the border between Samaria and Galilee. He was going into a village when he was met by 10 men suffering from a dreaded skin disease. They stood at a distance and shouted, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." Jesus saw them and said to them, "Go and let the priests examine you." On the way, they were made clean. When one of them saw that he had been healed, he came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself to the ground at Jesus' feet and thanked him. The man was a Samaritan. Jesus spoke up. "There were 10 who were healed. Where are the other 9? Why is this foreigner the only one who came back to give thanks to God?" And Jesus said to him, "Get up and go. Your faith has made you well." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us sing from Mission Praise, hymn 50, "Be Still for the Presence of the Lord."
Thank you.
Let me start by telling you about the courts of the Church of Scotland. The Church of Scotland is made up of various courts, the highest court being the General Assembly, followed by Presbytery and then Kirk Sessions. The General Assembly meets annually in Edinburgh during a week in May, when decisions are taken and are in turn sent down to presbyteries for further discussion and approval. The Presbytery of Ardrossan meets 8 times a year when we discuss the remits from Edinburgh and other businesses that include property, finance and stewardship, appraisal, vacancy procedure, ministries and superintendents, church and society, and mission committees. Business committee itself meets 2 weeks before Presbytery. All conveners of the various committees are members of the business committee, together with 3 nominated elders. What is Presbytery? It is a court of the Church of Scotland, sitting between the General Assembly and the Kirk Session. In Ardrossan Presbytery, there are 20 charges and 27 congregations. Presbytery is made up of ministers, elders like myself, deacons and readers. The question that is often asked is, what does Presbytery do? Presbytery coordinates the work of the church locally, plans the deployment of ministers in its area, sends commissioners to the General Assembly. Much of the work of Presbytery is done by the various committees. And do you know which committee your Presbytery elder is on? He's a member of the Ministries and Superintendents Committee. Quite a busy committee. I would say it's possibly one of the busiest committees in Presbytery. There are 9 committees in total. So what else is Presbytery responsible for doing? Pastoral oversight of congregations, including local church reviews. And you had one last year, which I was supposed to convene, but I called off at the last minute for various reasons. The supervision and discipline of congregations and ministers in the Presbytery. So this may explain a little about the workings of the Church of Scotland and Presbytery in particular. Who inspired you in your formative years apart from your parents? And what are your earliest memories? At what age do you first remember what you did? I have 2 very early memories. One is of my 2 older sisters chalking the pavement outside the house, and my sisters playing peaver with an old shoebox, an old shoe polish tin. The second memory is at the age of 4. Some years ago, I may say. I was going with my grandfather Richardson to Ayr once a month. You may wonder why we went to Ayr once a month. The clue may have been in the talk that I gave to the children. Grandpa had a Swedish shopping booth, and you required coupons to buy sweets then. And I'm sure a lot of you will remember those days. You could buy only a certain amount of sweets with your coupons. As I said, these are 2 of my earliest memories. And I'm thankful that I have these memories of both my grandfathers. They were both great men. And thinking back, they did inspire me. Sadly, both my grandmothers died within a year of me being born. So I didn't know any grandmothers. Granddad Cameron stayed with us, my mother's father, And he had lost a leg in Egypt during the First World War. And I spent a lot of time with him because he lived with it. As you know, the church, with its great vision, was to have a church and a school in every parish. The Scottish Reformation was always local in its outlook. I was privileged and shocked in February of this year when asked to be the moderator-elect for the 2019-20 Presbytery year. I will visit five congregations, as Alex said. And during my year as moderator, and this is the first congregation that I'm visiting. And I bring the good wishes, prayers, greetings from Presbytery to you all. Every congregation within Presbytery is most important. The health and the vitality of the church is not to be found in me as your Presbytery moderator. The Presbytery or other courts and committees of the church, or even your Kirk session, but in the life, worship, witness and activities of the local congregations like yourself. When I was installed as moderator, I thanked Presbytery, my own church and my family, Presbytery for asking me and having confidence in me, my church and minister for their support and encouragement, and my wife Marjorie and family for their love and support that I know I will receive during my year in office. After being installed as moderator that night, a family presented me, sorry folks, with this gavel and stand. He had taken time and thought to make this for me, out of wood that came out of the former Trinity Church in Beath. They were doing renovations. It's now a wedding venue and restaurant. And they were doing a lot of renovations, and he saw the wood, and he gathered some of it up, and he made this for me with a beautiful brass plaque on it. A very thoughtful family, and I thank them for the gift. Thank you are two words that mean so much to so many people, and at times, words we forget to use. How many of us forget to say thank you? Perhaps we receive a gift. Perhaps a cup of tea after the service. Perhaps somebody helps us. Over my life, I've received gifts that mean so much to me in so many different ways. Some 7 years ago, the two churches in Beath united, and Trinity Church closed. Trinity Church closed. I had a long, our family had a very long association with it. My grandfather, myself, my father christened in it, married in it, children christened in it, grandchildren christened in it. So we went over five generations. But churches must close. There are too many churches, and unions must take place. And the union took place, as I say, about 8 years ago, 9 years ago. At the time, some of the fittings were transferred to the renamed Beath Parish Church. And one was the War Memorial Board. This had to be trimmed, and I, together with another person who had trained as a cabinet maker in Beath, like myself, were given the task of reducing the width of this board and refitting the mouldings. This involved sawing it. The memorial board was in the half landing of the stair, and unfortunately, my friend who was helping me missed his footing and fell down the stone stairs. Fortunately, he had only two small cuts. I was thankful for that. I found him fitted two butterfly plasters, and we carried on with the job in hand. I was thankful that he was not more seriously injured. Sometime later, he gave me this beautiful Celtic cross as a thank you for helping him when he fell. This is not just any ordinary Celtic cross. This Celtic cross is made from the piece of oak that we cut from the War Memorial Board. He took the time to design it, make it, and carve it. I wrote and thanked him. You could say it was a double thank you. He was thanking me, and I was thanking him. I wonder what Jesus and his father Joseph would have made some 2,000 years ago when they were carpenters. Although Jesus was a carpenter, he performed miracles. In Luke's Gospel, we read that as he was on his way from Jerusalem and in the borderland between Samaria and Galilee, he was approached by 10 men with serious skin problems, known as leprosy. They were recognized as people with this dreaded skin disease because they had to wear torn clothes, leave their hair uncombed, cover the lower part of their face, and stand 50 yards back downwind and shout, "Unclean, unclean." However, they saw Jesus and shouted, "Master, Master, have mercy on us." People would have looked and stared at them, judging their appearance, and turned away in disgust at what they'd seen. I learned at a very early age in retail never, never to judge a person by their appearance. Jesus saw this in them. He looked below their disfigurement, and he sees the beauty of the person, just as he sees you and me. And at this, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." The Jewish law at that time stated that those cured of leprosy required a certificate from the priests saying they are now clean before they could return home. The 10 had faith in Jesus and set out to see the priests as if they had been healed. And because of their faith, they went and they were made clean. But why did only one of the lepers go back and thank Jesus? Were they rude? Were they ungrateful? Perhaps they were not ungrateful. Perhaps it was the excitement of being healed that they forgot to thank Jesus. It could be compared to possibly Christmas morning. Children opening their presents. They're happy with their gifts and forget to say thank you. The lepers were happy to be cleaned. The joy on their faces may have said it. All their lives had been transformed. They were healed. They were able to see their children again and be hugged and kissed by their loved ones. This excitement may be the reason why 9 forgot to say thank you to Jesus. We can picture the beautiful description of the one who returned. He praised God in a loud voice. He threw himself at the feet of Jesus and thanked him, whereas previously he had to stand downwind because he was a leper. Why did only one return and thank Jesus? We will never know. Was it because he was grateful that he had been healed? Perhaps he wanted to work on a new relationship with Jesus. I showed you the gavel in the sand and also the Celtic cross I received from a friend I have known for over 60 years. Like the healed leper, I said thank you. We offer thanks to God for what he gives us. The calling of the Christian life and seeking intimacy with Jesus that we can express through worship, prayer, singing hymns. As we receive the healing touch in our lives, so we are changed in all ways. Perhaps if we come to Jesus like the ten, we will say, Jesus, Master, Friend, have mercy on us. We too will receive the healing we need. Amen. Our offerings will now be uplifted. Let us dedicate our offerings. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Take these gifts, Lord, and use them and use us to strengthen your church here in this parish and throughout the world. Amen. Let us continue our worship by singing hymn 92. Hymn 92, Lord of all hopefulness, Lord of all joy. And as we sing it, and as we're singing the second verse, think of the words on the second line of the second verse. Hymn 92.
Thank you.
Let us again unite our hearts in prayer, our prayers of intercession and prayers for others. Glorious and ever-loving Lord, we offer prayers for others. We pray for those throughout the world living in fear of violence, like those in Hong Kong and other places throughout the world caused by unrest. We pray that they will find peace. We pray for those who know the harshness of natural disasters. We think especially where floods have caused such hardship to many people in Yorkshire and Derbyshire. And as they recover from flooding caused by extreme wet weather, give them strength to recover from the damage caused. Lord, it is hard to contemplate their loss. We also think and pray for those in Queensland and New South Wales in Australia who are suffering bushfires and the loss of livestock due to drought. Rain that we are inclined to take for granted, we pray that you will give them strength at this difficult time for them. We pray for our Sovereign Queen and all members of the royal family. We pray for all the leaders of and members of all political parties in these difficult times of uncertainty as they all strive to lead our great country in the future. Gracious God, we pray for all office bearers and members of this congregation. We pray for the sick, that they will be healed. For those mourning, we pray that they shall be comforted. Precious Lord, we pray for your minister, Alec, as he continues to lead this congregation. We pray also for his wife, Patricia, as she supports Alec in his ministry here in Salkett's North. We give thanks to those working with the young in this parish, that they will find satisfaction in their work. We give thanks for the choir and the organist in this church as they lead worship with music week by week. We ask, Lord, that you will support all within the Church of Scotland as they strive to strengthen our church here in Scotland and throughout the world. Give wisdom to the members of Presbytery here in Ardrossan as they look to the future of this presbytery, and give those tasked with looking to the future the strength to achieve the proper outcome. Hear these are prayers for others in the name of your loving Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Master. Amen. Let us conclude the worship this morning by singing hymn 368, Now Thank We, All Our God. Hymn 368. May the Lord bless us and take care of us. May the Lord be kind and gracious to us. May the Lord look on us and give us peace. And the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us this day and forevermore. Amen.